From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God's Treasury. The text is Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. This refers first to the rain. The Lord will give this in its season. Rain is the emblem of all those celestial refreshings which the Lord is ready to bestow upon his people. Oh, for a copious shower to refresh the Lord's heritage! We seem to think that God's treasury can only be opened by a great prophet like Elijah. But it is not so. For the promise is to all the faithful in Israel, and indeed to each one of them. O believing friend, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Thou too mayest see heaven opened, and thrust in thy hand, and take out thy portion, yea, and a portion for all thy brethren round about thee. Ask what thou wilt, and thou shalt not be denied, if thou abidest in Christ, and his words abide in thee. As yet thou hast not known all thy Lord's treasures, but he shall open them up to thine understanding. Certainly thou hast not yet enjoyed the fullness of his covenant riches, but he will direct thine heart into his love, and reveal Jesus in thee. Only the Lord himself can do this for thee. But here is his promise, and if thou wilt hearken diligently unto his voice and obey his will, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus shall be thine.
Have you not sworn, have you not heard, God's throne remains on high? Established by his mighty hand to form the earth and sky. Are you afraid his power shall fail when comes your evil day? And can at all created arm grow weary or decay?
Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series on the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as he brings the next portion of a message called Christ Tempted but Triumphant. In answering questions that have arisen about Christ's temptation, Dr. Cairns has explained how the Son of God could be tempted. Here was the God-man facing Satan's intense and prolonged attacks. Among the views we see of Christ are his true humanity. Only by being truly human could he save us. Yet Christ had no sin nature because of his virgin birth. Unlike us, there was nothing in him to respond to Satan's temptations. Dr. Cairns will emphasize the fact that there must be a point of contact between God and man, that we cannot worship a God without a face. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul declared that God gives the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Christ tempted, but triumphant.
This whole matter of Christ being tempted was a vital part of his saving work. You remember, he said, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And immediately after that, this is what happens. This is part of his fulfilling all righteousness. You see, the Lord Jesus was sent into the world on a specific mission. Isaiah 49 asks the question, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Christ was sent into the world to take the prey out of the hand of the mighty. He was sent into the world to take us out of the paw of that roaring lion, out of his grasp and out of his teeth, deliver us from the damnation of sin, from the awful bondage of Satan. The strong man had us imprisoned. To change the metaphor, the strong man was armed, and he kept his house. Who was there who could invade the prison house of Satan? Not Moses, for there's no salvation in Moses or in his law. Not Abraham. He needed to be delivered. Not even David with his kingly power. Who could invade as a stronger than the strong man that prison house and deliver souls from the grasp of Satan? Only Christ, and he was sent on that mighty mission. But first, of course, if he's going to enter into that strong man's house, he must prove himself stronger. He must prove himself the master and the conqueror. Therefore, the battle was joined right at the very beginning of the public ministry of Christ. And it was a battle with Satan for our salvation. As you see Christ in this battle, when he's tempted 40 days by the devil, you get some glorious views of him. And I must say, here I'm in a quandary. I haven't got started to preach on the text yet, and I have slight fears, more than slight fears, if I follow my inclinations, I'll never get to it this morning anyway. But you know, when I was sitting thinking through the week, and this last week, I've pondered what a view you get of Christ in his temptation. He is God. But the thing that strikes you is the true humanity of Christ. The true humanity of Christ. God cannot be tempted. The divine nature in Christ could not be tempted. But he was tempted. So therefore, the focus is on the true humanity of Christ. We were reading at the wedding service on Friday evening Paul's words of Ephesians 5, that we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But you know, you can turn that around. He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. The early church was cursed with heretics who tried to explain away the miracle of the incarnation, and they made the flesh of Christ to be some sort of a ghostly flesh. It was only an apparent flesh. It was not real flesh. And this nonsense has flowed down through the centuries, and it's with us today. Otherwise good men and sound men yet make mistakes here. Dr. DeHaan, in his great work on the blood, one of the best things ever written on the blood, made the terrible mistake, which he ought not to have made, because he made it on medical grounds. He was a medical doctor, and he ought to have known better than to write the medical rubbish that he did write. But he, on that subject, I mean. And he was coming to the conclusion that Mary and her humanity contributed nothing to the developing fetus within her womb. That she was just a vessel. That she can, if I could be very colloquial here, I don't mean to be irreverent, but I've got to make it in some way that people can understand the difference. That she contributed no more to the substance of Christ's flesh than the plastic Coke bottle contributes to the essence of the Coke that's within it. Or that a jar contributes to the water that you put in it, or the sugar you put in it, or whatever. They're totally different substances. He gave some medical mumbo-jumbo that was supposed to support that. But what was he trying to do? He was trying to establish what the old Plymouth Brethren following J.M. Darby believed was the spiritual humanity of Christ. That while Mary bore him, his humanity was a distinct, unique creation by the Holy Spirit. Not of her substance, but of a substance that the Holy Spirit created. I want to tell you, that is a denial of the gospel. It is only as he is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. It is only as he has a true humanity, not something that looks like our humanity, but that actually is our humanity. It is only then that he can stand in our place, take our guilt, be our head, and ultimately be our deliverer. The humanity of Christ is a very, very, very important theological truth in the whole scheme of God's redemptive purpose. And of course, the fact that it's true humanity, in the words that I've often quoted, "O joy, there sitteth in our flesh upon the throne of God, one of a virgin mother born." That's the one who sits in heaven. Our flesh, our humanity, exalted to the right hand of God in the person of Jesus Christ. As we'll see as we go on, that's what gives you encouragement when you're tempted. Humanity in Christ triumphed over hell. In Christ, our intercessor, we also can triumph over hell. But take away the true humanity of Jesus. The sympathizing Jesus has gone. The help has gone. The victory for us has gone. It's very important that we maintain this. Don't even know whether to take time to get into this at all. Maybe it'll make something clearer for somebody. There's always somebody who struggles with these things any time you speak on them. Every religion in the world has to find a point of contact between God and man. There's going to be true worship. Every religion in the world is looking for a point of contact. The heathens had a very simple solution for that. Very sinful and very wrong, but it was very simple. And they just brought God down and made him unto, as Paul tells us in Romans 1, unto, like unto beasts and four-footed creatures and creeping things. That's their point of contact. Sometimes they'd form him in the form of a man or of a woman. It's an easy point of contact. A God who has no human face is a God you can never know. Understand that. A God who has no human face is a God you can never know, and you can never worship, and you can never approach. Think it through. No man has seen God, and you can't. No man can even know God if you have no human point of contact. No man can approach God. No man can get comfort from God. That's why the Roman Catholic Church, you know, invented the cult of Mary. Mary is to put a human, kindly face on God. Remember Luther's testimony? How he was afraid of God. And when he read of the righteousness of God, he trembled, for he saw himself a poor, vile, guilty sinner, a little worm of the dust, and he was squirming under the judgment of a righteous and a holy God, and he felt himself that he must be damned eternally, and there was no point of contact that he could see. But we don't need idols. And we don't need Mariolatry, which is idolatry. Because the gospel is this: great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. The Word was made, or simply the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to tell you, I said last Sabbath morning that God has never spoken to a creature, angelic or human, except through his Son, the eternal Word. That is the divine economy. God, in coming to man, has always come through his Son. Now coming to sinful man, he comes in the person of God incarnate. We have the human face of God, if you want it. Not that God is humanized, but that God, by taking a true humanity into union with himself, has drawn near to us so that he may draw us near to him. He came down to the depths of where we were, that he might lift us to the heights of where he is. And that's the absolute necessity of understanding the humanity of Christ. And Christ was tempted to underscore, to emphasize, to write upon our hearts that this is not a lookalike humanity. This is not some plastic image of humanity. This is not some special spiritual humanity. This is true humanity, where he was, by the power of the Holy Ghost, made of the substance of the Virgin Mary, without sin, but nonetheless truly human. We get a glorious vision of the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just see this. Here is the Son of God, the object of the worship of the angels of heaven. Never forget that. Remember Isaiah 6? When the angels cover their face, they cover their feet, they hover in the presence of Jehovah, and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy." You remember that passage? John 12:41 tells us that it was Christ before whom they bowed. It was to Christ they cried, "Holy, holy, holy." It was his glory they beheld. He's the object of heaven's worship.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.